Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Mike Gullah.
In the mid-1990s, I had a physical therapy, reconditioning, and personal training business in Sarasota, Florida. I had all different kinds of clients, Sarasota being an affluent area. Most of my clients back then were successful business people, doctors, lawyers, authors, professional musicians, professional sports athletes, and famous authors. Two of my clients that I had come to mind. My first client was I got her as a client when she was 12 years old. She had been in a car accident. Her younger brother was killed, her mother broke her back, and she had a head injury, lost brain matter, was in a coma for 9 months, and ended up having to relearn everything and had paralysis on her left side. She had gone through many different trainers and physical therapists, and she was really difficult to work with. The family moved to Florida from the Poconos, and the assigned nurse somehow got my name and number and called me for an interview. I'd been working with Lauren for about 4 years with pretty favorable results. She was starting to get a little bit older, starting to reach puberty and getting difficult. The gains were getting slower and her attitude was changing for the negative. So I did all kinds of things with her to keep it interesting, like horseback riding, and taught her how to ride a bicycle. And of course I had to run behind her and hold the seat, but we did all those different fun things and with very good results in keeping her interested. But at this point, she was at a point where the interest wasn't there, her results were starting to regress. So I had to come up with something as almost a bribe. And one of my other clients at the time was a famous world-known rock star, Brian Johnson from the band AC/DC. Now, I worked with Brian since 1991 on numerous things and got to know his family, and we became friends also. So I said to Lauren one day when she was really behaving poorly and with poor results, I said, you know, if we set goals and you reach them, I'll introduce you to a really good friend of mine, Brian Johnson. She knew who he was because back then there was the TV show Beavis and Butthead, and they had the Metallica and AC/DC shirts. I had no idea if she knew any of the songs or anything, but she got excited and said, okay, I'll do it. So we set goals, and every day reminded me that she was going to get to meet him, and she moved forward amazingly. We did like a year's worth of progress in about 2 months. So she said to me, listen, when do I get to meet him? Yeah, you know, I want to meet him. You know, I'm not going to keep trying if you don't let me meet him. So, of course, I had to ask Brian to set up an appointment so I could take her to meet him. I was a little reluctant because at that time, a lot of people had been bothering Brian, that he had some stalkers and he had people roaming around his house, actually inside his house, in the back, and he was getting overwhelmed and he didn't really, at this point, like doing too many favors for people because he was taken advantage of. So it came to the day when I was going to ask him, and he was having a really bad day. And so I said, well, I'll wait to the end. We were finishing up our therapy program, and I was about to ask him, and then he said to me, on Monday, the boys are coming around. We have a world tour coming up, and we're going to practice over at my sound studio. Why don't you come around? It'll be Monday night at 6 o'clock. So I said, well, that sounds great. Can I bring a friend of mine? And he said, well, who is that? I said, well, remember you asked me what kind of clients I had and what I did, and I described this younger girl who was paralyzed on her left side. I said, she really is lacking some friendship and she's having a difficult time. I think it'd be really cool. And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. problem. So that afternoon when I worked with Lauren, I said, listen, Monday's the day, we're going to go meet him. And not only are you going to meet him, you're going to get to see the band practice. Well, she was so excited. Her parents called me over the weekend to even double check because they weren't believing what she was saying. And I said, no, it's 100% true. He's a client of mine, and I know you know that he lives in town, but I've been working with him for years. And he said they're having a practice, and I asked permission, can she go? And they said, sure, as long as you pick her up and drop her off. And so Monday comes, she was really excited, and I get over to her house to pick her up, and oh my gosh, she was just beside herself and running a little bit late. So I rush to get there, I get to the studio, I see his car parked there, and as we walk up, I don't hear any sound. So I'm like, okay, at any rate, I knock on the door, and the sound engineer peeks through the window. It was like a movie, like it was in the Prohibition times. He peeked through the window, through the curtain, and said, I could hear him say to Brian, it's Mike. And he said, yeah, okay. So Brian comes to the door, and he kind of sneaks out the door and closes the door behind him. And I said, Brian, remember I told you about my client and friend Lauren? This is Lauren, this is Brian Johnson. So he graciously took her by the hand, looked right in her eyes, and said, yes, hi, Lauren, I'm Brian. I am so happy to meet you. Mike has said so much about you. Now, Lauren was also socially dysfunctional and had some problems just coping with the lack of friendship and being teased and so forth. So you never know what was going to come out of her mouth. And so I had no idea. I was almost biting the inside of my cheeks there. And she said, well, I'm so happy to meet you too. So Brian goes on and he says, listen, I know you're coming to see the band, but the boys came early and they run the show, and we started at 3, not at 6, and we just finished. Everything's turned off and we're done, quite tired. We're just, you know. And he has a heavy British accent. He's from Northern England, and so it was difficult to understand. I mean, I didn't understood him because I've been working with him so long, but Lauren looked with a blank look on her face, which she had a lot of times because of the paralysis, and he's looking at her, and he says, so do you understand? And she still had the blank look. He goes, we're done. So you missed practice. Now, I didn't know what she was going to say about that, and I'm biting the inside of my cheeks again, and she says, that's okay, Mr. Johnson. I'm just really happy to have met you. Well, I was astonished, but not as astonished as Brian. He just kind of stood up straight, and you could see the light bulb go off in his head. He even had like it was a split second where it registered in him, and he said, wait a minute, I'll be right back. And he went inside for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it seemed like about 20 minutes. I wasn't sure he was coming back after that, it seemed so long. And he comes back out, and he says, you know, he holds her hand again. He says, I have one question for you. And she says, sure, Mr. Johnson, what's that? What, pray tell, is your favorite AC/DC song? Now, again, I didn't even know if she knew any of the songs. And she says, well, Mr. Johnson, that's a difficult question because I like 3 songs the best. I like Back in Black, I like Hell's Bells, and you have a new one that came out, Big Gun, because they had written that song for an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Well, again, he gets this shocked reaction, as of I did also, and he says, takes her by the hand, he says, well, come with me. So he comes in, he takes her inside the studio, almost closes the door on me. I'm like, hey, wait for me. And we go inside, and he introduces her to everybody, and he tells the sound engineer, turn all the equipment back on, takes Lauren by the hand, walks her into the actual studio where they record, and there's a big overstuffed chair, sits her down, gets the band, routes them out of their seats and back into the recording studio, and says, okay, come on, guys. These are the 3 songs we're going to play. And he sat holding her hand while he sat with his arm around her as he was sitting on the overstuffed arm of the chair, and his arm around her and sang her those three songs, you know, obviously while the band played. And then when it was all done, he said, "Now see, honey, you can tell your friends that AC/DC gave you a private concert all of your own." And that changed her. She was not feeling good about herself. And from that point on, I saw a remarkable difference in her results and her attitude and her self-esteem.
Mike Gullah with a story about the power of rock and roll.
And so much more. Do you think maybe you can play a little AC/DC in the background while we're having our conversation?
I hate to admit it, but I'm really not that familiar with their music.
What a surprise. Well, neither was I, but I certainly have heard of them and know what superstars they were. You know, I talk a lot about how stories are about transformation, and certainly we see transformation in the story of this young girl and how her attitude is transformed. Storytelling is also about reversals. If we got what we expected out of a story, it wouldn't really be that interesting. It wouldn't really be a story. It would just be one more thing that happened in life, right? But what makes something into a story, along with other factors, is this idea that we're expecting something because that's the way it always happens, and now something else is going to happen. In this case, we've got a young girl who's going through such tremendous difficulties. We have an exceptionally, extraordinarily caring therapist, and we have a rock star. There are so many moving parts in this story. So many things could have gone wrong as far as promising something to a girl and to a client who really needs that promise and is really holding on to that. And the rock star could have played like we often think rock stars do and not come up with the goods, not delivered. We could have a girl who is severely hurt, a girl with a very debilitating condition who does not behave the way the therapist would like her to behave. There are so many things, even a girl who cannot get any better than she already is. And yet, everything that could have gone wrong in the story goes right. It's really a terrific example of storytelling.
And it's an emotional roller coaster from the tragedy of the car accident to the kindness of the rock star. He was a wonderful telling of the story.
Exactly. I'm so glad that you brought that up. Mike is a really natural storyteller in so many ways. First of all, his voice is very strong, very easy to listen to. And secondly, even when he explains something a little bit more than perhaps we need him to, it's interesting. In other words, everything he says is something that contributes to the story. Elements in a story need to have causal relationships. In other words, something flows into something else, flows into something else. And it does in this story very, very well. So he sets this up. He sets up that roller coaster in a beautiful way. Not only in we start off with the low of the accident and then the high and then the low and then the, but also within the story, we have, he's worried, what's she going to do here? And he's worried, what's she going to do there? And so he sets up the suspense within the story. And it's a lovely telling.
It was interesting how he set up the initial meeting as if he was approaching a speakeasy. And he wanted to know what was going on behind those studio doors and whether it was safe for a teenager.
Actually, I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is, rock stars are so used to being harassed and having people go through their mail, having people do all kind, take pictures of them when they don't want to be photographed. And so the people around Brian Johnson are just so protective of him. It's not so much being protective of the girl as saying, you know, are these people we want to come in, and do we want to invite them into the private space of the band? So the fact that she was invited into this private space was really something special.
And it's so encouraging to see how it affected Lauren.
Exactly. And it gives us real insights into what a physical therapist does. Part of it, a huge part of it, is about the body, but a huge part of it is about the mind and the spirit as well. And so this is a great story about celebrity. It's a great story about growing up. It's a great story about the healing arts. It's a story about the mind-body connection. And by listening to this story, we also get a lot of insights into the practice of storytelling itself.
Well, thank you for bringing that story in, Karen. We are looking for more stories of our South Florida listeners. How can they get in touch with you if they'd like to share?
Send me an email at cneil, that's N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. And then click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.